I invite Mr. Rene Castro Salazar, Assistant Director General, Forestry Department, to make his introductory remarks.
Dr. Barack Yadeo, Chairperson of COFO, Dr. Ren Wan, ADG of Agriculture, Your Excellencies, Ministers and Vice Ministers, Ambassadors, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, it is a great pleasure and honor to welcome you to the 23rd session of the Committee on Forestry. Last year was a very special year for diplomats and negotiators. In September, countries adopted the Agenda 2030 for Sustainable Development Goals, a comprehensive and aspirational agreement that leaves no one behind and has the potential to change the world. By the end of the same year, in December 2015, countries took decisive action on climate change by adopting the Paris Agreement, in which they committed to limit the global rise in temperature. For the first time, agriculture and forestry are recognized as key pieces in both the adaptation and mitigation agenda. We are still reporting a net forest loss of 3 million hectares per year for the period 2010-2015. And the SDG challenge to halt the deforestation by 2020 is enormous and ambitious, especially in the tropics. But as mentioned earlier today, at COFO 23, we have reasons to be optimistic, as significant progress is on its way. As the Director General announced earlier today, the key message from the State of the World's Forests, our SAFO, is clear and optimistic. The world is reaching a turning point in its approach to development. It is no longer necessary to cut down forests to produce more food. This belongs to the past. More than 20 countries have convincingly demonstrated that increasing agriculture production, feeding families, and protecting forests are not mutually exclusive. If countries are to develop sustainably, integrated and balanced land use systems has to be found that ensure long-term benefits for current and future generations. In summary, 2016 presents us key opportunities. The 22nd session of the Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, COP22 in Morocco, and Conference of the Parties to the Convention on Biological Diversity, COP13 in Mexico, are the immediate opportunities to open these new doors. The oft-quoted heightened political attention to forests also brings heightened expectations. Now is the time to take action to meet those expectations. To halt deforestation is a huge and imperative task. It is also our generation's duty and legacy to our children. Ladies and gentlemen, the year 2016 is the year to start implementing. It's the year for forest people of the world to work more intensively. It is the year to walk the walk. In this COFO session, we are also launching a new publication on forestry for a low-carbon future. The publication shows how forest and wood products can be integrated into climate change strategies. Another important event at COFO will be the first results of a newly created partnership with Google. It has already helped FAO to provide high technology assistance to countries in the world drylands. For the first time, we will report on the state of the 45% of the terrestrial mass known as drylands. During the course in its elaboration, this report has strengthened the capacity of experts developing forest and land use policies. Additionally, I am proud to announce that FAO will present a pilot global land use assessment at COP22 in Morocco. For the first time, assessing forest and land use at the global level with over 500,000 samples collected from all over the planet. Let me invite you all to the event on Friday morning. We want your guidance. We need the eyes of all experts gathered here. We want to know if this will be a game changer, a turning point for monitoring and preserving the Earth ecosystems. As a global body, COFO can also advise its members on policies, strategies, and actions. It can contribute to enhance collaboration among countries, but also within countries and across sectors, which is key to really unlocking the full potential of forest contribution to a sustainable future. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to conclude by repeating the old saying, the optimist invented the plane and the pessimist the parachute. We need you to invent and implement both the plane and the parachute. If we are able to be the generation that halts global deforestation, new financing instruments will be needed. New institutions should emerge. Forests should be in people's minds and hearts. At this COFO, you will find activities and side events for the mind. You will also find concerts and conversations for the heart. Welcome to the 23rd COFO. Thank you for your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Distinguished delegates, I refer to the provisional agenda document COFO 2016-1, which you'd have before you. You may recall that the provisional agenda has been developed in consultation with member countries through the regional forestry commissions, the COFO steering committee, and the director general. The document in front of you represents the results of these consultations. May I propose that this agenda be adopted? I'm opening the floor. If there is any amendment to the agenda, please do so now. I hear no objection, so the agenda is contained in document COFO 2016-1 is adopted. We move to item 3, designation of the drafting committee. Distinguished delegates, as you may recall in the past, this item also included the election of officers. But based on the decision of the last session of COFO, the election of the chair will be conducted under agenda item 11 on Friday. I would like to invite the Secretary to inform the committee on the composition of its steering committee. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Distinguished delegates, the committee may wish to recall that according to Rule 1 of its Rules of Procedure, the six chairpersons of the FAO Regional Forestry Commissions shall act as vice chairpersons. The chairperson shall remain in office until the election of the new chairperson. The vice chairpersons shall remain in office until they complete their term as chairpersons in their respective regional forestry commissions. The newly elected chairperson of a regional forestry commission shall automatically replace his or her predecessor in the steering committee. The committee may wish to take note that the regional forestry commissions had their most recent meetings in November 2015, February 2016 period, and elected the following chairpersons, who thus serve as vice chairpersons of the Committee on Forestry for the duration of their term in office in their respective commissions. Mr. Emilio Mugo of Kenya, the African Forestry and Wildlife Commission, Mr. Mars Amaro of the Philippines, Asia-Pacific Forestry Commission, Mr. Kenan Kilic of Turkey, European Forestry Commission, Mrs. Fabiola Munoz of Peru, Latin American and Caribbean Forestry Commission, Mr. Glenn Mason of Canada, North American Forest Commission, and Mr. Yetu Abdelkader of Algeria, Near East Forestry and Range Commission. This information will be recorded in the report of the 23rd session of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to move now to the designation of the drafting committee. You may recall that the drafting committee members are traditionally nominated by the G77 and China and the OECD groups. The chairpersons of these groups were kind enough to submit the following nominations. From the G77 and China group, Brazil, China, Costa Rica, South Africa, Tanzania, Thailand. There are still some nominations missing from the G77 and China group. From the OECD group, Canada, France, Italy, Japan, Republic of Korea, Russian Federation, Slovakia, Switzerland. Based on the rotational system, it has been recommended that Canada would chair the drafting committee. In the absence of a nomination for the vice chair so far, it is recommended that the drafting committee elects its vice chair at its first session. I'd also wish to inform that the European Union will be participating in the drafting committee in accordance with paragraphs 8 and 9 of Article 2 of the Constitution, and on matters within its competence, will be exercising on an alternative basis the membership rights of the EU member state or states elected to the drafting committee. May I invite at this stage, the G77 and China to make recommendations for the drafting committee for those that have been missing. The secretary has just. Okay, Egypt has asked for the floor. Okay, Egypt.
الأدنى ستنضم إيران إلى لجنة الصياغة. Okay. Yes.
Would that conclude all of the nominations from the G77 and China? No further nomination. Yes, please, Brazil.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me start by saying that Brazil takes the floor as the acting chair of the G77 and China. I would like to put on record that it would be advisable that in future sessions of the COFO, nominations be asked from the regional groups rather from the G77 and China and the OECD. As you have just heard, the Near Eastern Group has put forward an additional nomination to compose the drafting committee. As to the GRULAC, we haven't yet come up with an additional nomination. It will be communicated in due course because there are members who have not arrived from our group yet. Thank you.
Would be considered. May I suggest that the meeting, proceed to approve those members who are already nominated, and then if there are changes, those could be approved at some point in time. Thank you very much. I'd like to congratulate the members of the drafting committee for their election and wish them every success in this very, very important work. Please note that the committee will have its first meeting on Wednesday from 7 to 10 p.m. Thank you. This concludes item 3 of the agenda. I have here the chairman's direction, an item here, the chairman's direction to the meeting. But I'm sure those of you who have been here would know what they are, their standard. If you want to make an intervention, it should be relevant, it should be short, because there are so many members here who would wish to speak. And please avoid the package presentations. We spoke the last time about people reading from scripts, that these scripts could be submitted into the records of the meeting so that we can have full discussion. I'm not going to spend much time on the chairman's directions to the meeting. Now, I'd open the floor for general statements, if there are any. But please note that you would be given a chance to speak on each agenda item before us. So I would encourage you to save your interventions for these sessions and for these items. Nevertheless, if there is anyone who absolutely needs to make a presentation now, please indicate whether you want to do so, and please observe the time rule. I'm opening the floor. Slovak Republic, South Africa. I'm taking the names and then we'd close the list. So far, just two countries. Can we now close the list? The European Union. That's it. Thank you very much. The Slovak Republic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, distinguished delegates. I am honored to speak on behalf of the European Union and its 28 member states. Firstly, we would like to congratulate Mr. René Castro Salazar, appointed as Assistant Director General for Forestry, and wish him every success in his very important work. We would like also to thank the Secretariat for the work done in preparing this session, and we welcome the combination with the World Forest Week. We compliment the Steering Committee and the Secretariat for preparing an agenda and background documentation for this session. However, we would like to stress the importance of having background documents available in due time, allowing adequate preparation. The EU and its member states will contribute to the Committee on Forestry deliberations with specific comments to the individual items of the agenda. Nonetheless, we would like to request FAO to strengthen the contributions of its work on forests to the organization's strategic objectives, in particular on forests' fundamental role, for food security and nutrition, sustainable agriculture, improved livelihoods, and increased resilience of urban and rural communities. FAO, a leading UN global forestry-related organization and chair of CPF, should further enhance effort and work and achieve the full contribution of forests in all SDGs and for the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development as well as the Paris Agreement. To this end, it should also promote the collaboration of forest sector with other sectors such as agriculture and fisheries, and to create strong interlinkages and build a common understanding for sustainable development and mitigating of and adapting to climate change. Thank you for your attention.
Q, South Africa.
Mr. Chairman, we would like to defer the statement to item 4. Thank you.
Thank you, the European Union.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Actually, Slovakia already spoke on behalf of the European Union, so we have this okay. agreement of speaking behind the EU nameplate. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. That concludes that item. We now move on to agenda item 4. State of the World's Forests. I invite the committee to address this agenda item, State of the World's Forests 2016. Delegates have received the full document in their respective languages. SOFO, as you know, is one of FAO's flagship publications and serves as the major input to COFO to review the situation of forests and forestry worldwide. I would like to give the floor to Eva Muller, Director of the Forestry Policy and Resources Division, to present document COFO 2016-4 and SOFO itself. Ms. Muller, you have the floor.
Excellencies, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure for me to introduce to you the 2016 edition of the State of the World's Forests. You have already heard bits of pieces during the speeches in the opening, but I will present to you now a summary of the full report of SOFO 2016. After a short introduction to the theme of SOFO, I will describe historical and current trends in land use change between forest and agriculture. I will then present the outcomes of the analysis of the governance and management of such land use change. I will explain the findings from case studies of countries that have improved food security while maintaining or increasing forest cover. And finally, I will provide key messages from SOFO 2016 for better governance of land use for forests and agriculture. As an introduction, allow me to quote Evelyn Ngoleka, president of the World Farmers Organization. Quote, "It is time for a change in consciousness. It is a fact that agriculture and forestry can no longer be treated in isolation. Linking the two is imperative for socioeconomic development in the 21st century." End quote. Last September, the 4,000 participants of the World Forestry Congress came to a similar conclusion. The Durban Declaration and Vision on Forests and Forestry 2050 calls for integrated approaches to land use that capitalize on the full range of economic, social, and environmental benefits of integrating forests with agriculture and maintain multiple forest services in the landscape context. This vision corresponds as well with the Sustainable Development Goals, which are comprehensive and cross-cutting. The implementation will require integrated approaches to land use and land management. So this edition of SOFO examines in more detail how this vision can be realized, focusing on the land use challenges and opportunities of forest and agriculture. Let me start with a look at the historical trends in land use change between forest and agriculture. Deforestation to gain new agricultural land has been part of human development for millennia. Regrowth sometimes happened when land was abandoned, mainly due to outbreaks of disease. The figure you see on the left side of the slides illustrates some of the land use change dynamics for Europe between 1000 BC and 1850 AD. The forest areas are shown in dark green. Forest loss was most prevalent in the temperate climatic domain until the late 19th century. However, in the recent past, it has been greatest in the tropical domain. In the early 1800s, the concern about the depletion of forest resources in Central Europe led to the emergence of the concept of sustainability, formulated by von Carlowitz in 1713. And overall, it is estimated that forest area has declined by about 50% in the past 5,000 years. As the Director General already mentioned in his opening speech, in the recent past, the greatest loss of forests and the greatest gain in agricultural land has been in tropical and low-income countries. Between 2000 and 2010, annual net forest loss in tropical countries was 7 million hectares, as compared to about 3 million hectares globally, and the annual net gain in agricultural area was 6 million hectares. We've also heard already that agriculture is still the main driver of deforestation, and it is estimated that about 80% of forest loss is due to conversion to agriculture. Around 40% of forest loss in the tropics and subtropics is due to large-scale commercial production of agricultural commodities, while 33% is due to small-scale and subsistence agriculture. Infrastructure development, mining, and urban expansion account for most of the rest. There are also some geographical differences. In Latin America, forest conversion due to large-scale commercial agriculture is prevalent, accounting for about 70%, while in Africa, small-scale agricultural processes dominate deforestation. As mentioned earlier, forest conversion is also related to income level. This graph shows net annual average change in agriculture and forest areas in countries grouped by income category. The highest rate of forest loss, shown in dark green, and the highest gain in agricultural area, shown in light green, were in low-income countries, while in the high-income countries, the trend is reversed. SOFO 2016 also provides an analysis of the governance and management land use change, the outcomes of which are summarized here. Many countries have agricultural policies and forest policies, and they may have also policies on land use. However, often these are not coordinated, and they may even be conflicting. Therefore, there's a strong need for policies on land use change. In addition, better coordination is needed of land use-related policies as well as development of cross-sectoral priorities or strategic targets for land use change and appropriate institutional arrangements. Complex legal frameworks and weak governance favor informal local land use change practices, while customary rights are often not recognized despite their importance, especially for vulnerable groups. Countries promoting agricultural investment and providing enabling infrastructure are better able to address forest loss. To improve governance, a multi-pronged approach is required, including coordinated policy development, secure land tenure, effective law enforcement, economic incentives, stakeholder engagement, public-private partnerships, integrated land use planning and monitoring of land use change. Where countries have secured investment in the forest sector, forest loss is generally lower. Such investments can achieve wider social and environmental goals. And to balance competing land uses, a strategic framework encompassing all relevant stakeholder groups is needed. Using two indicators of food security, namely the prevalence of undernourishment and the number of people undernourished, as well as data from FRA on forest loss, SOFO identified more than 20 countries that have improved food security while maintaining or increasing forest cover in the past 25 years. 12 of these countries have even increased forest cover by more than 10% in the same period, namely Algeria, Chile, China, the Dominican Republic, the Gambia, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Morocco, Thailand, Tunisia, Turkey, Uruguay, and Vietnam. 7 countries were studied in more depth to identify the factors that made these positive trends possible. And 8 key factors were identified. Effective legal and institutional frameworks are key, and this includes secure land tenure and regulation of land use change. Equally important is a coordinated and balanced approach to forest and agricultural policies. Market-oriented agriculture with social and environmental safeguards has been very effective, and all case study countries have experienced economic growth. Much of this growth has been due to economic reforms in the 80s and 90s that typically included strengthening the private sector, trade liberalization measures, and transformation of the public sector. A 5th important factor has been adequate funding and investment to increase agricultural productivity and manage forests sustainably. Furthermore, stronger involvement of local communities and smallholders and devolution of management rights to communities have led to positive effects, as well as the use of the right policy instruments to improve agricultural productivity and sustainable forest management. And finally, the promotion of integrated land use and land use planning. To sum up, I would like to highlight the key messages that resulted from the analysis carried out for SOFO 2016 and that also provide a way forward. The first, and maybe the most important, is that food security can be achieved through agricultural intensification and other measures, such as social protection, rather than through expansion of agricultural areas at the expense of forests. Or, as the Director General said in the opening, it is not necessary to cut down forests to produce more food. Meeting the world's increasing demand for food and other land-based products will require highly productive, sustainably managed landscapes. Forests' role in the water cycle, soil conservation, carbon sequestration, and habitat protection make the sustainable management indispensable for agriculture and food security. As agriculture remains the main driver of deforestation, there is an urgent need to promote more positive interactions between agriculture and forestry. The SDGs are integrated and irreversible. Therefore, sustainable agriculture and forestry and food security should be achieved simultaneously. Improved coordination between sector policies related to land use and clear legal frameworks governing land use change are needed, including secure tenure. Where large-scale agriculture is the main driver of deforestation, effective regulation of land use change and social and environmental safeguards are required. Where local subsistence agriculture is the main driver of deforestation, broader poverty alleviation and rural development measures and improved land use practices are required. And finally, integrated land use planning involving stakeholders provides a strategic framework for balancing land uses at different levels. Allow me to offer you some points for consideration. The committee may wish to invite countries to improve coordination between policies on forests, agriculture, food, land use, and rural development for more effective regulation of land use change. Promote integrated land use planning as a strategic framework for balancing land uses at national, subnational, and landscape scales, and use adequate policy instruments and boost investments to increase sustainable agricultural production and encourage sustainable forest management. The committee may request FAO to support countries to develop integrated land use strategies that take into account the important role of forests in the water cycle, soil conservation, carbon sequestration, and habitat protection, thus safeguarding their contributions to sustainable agriculture and food security. Strengthen governance of land use by improving tenure security for local communities and smallholders, and encouraging partnerships with the private sector and civil society for sustainable forest and land management, and monitor and collect data on the effectiveness of governance mechanisms related to land use change affecting forests, and on the social, economic, and environmental values of forests. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ms. Muller, for that excellent presentation. As SOFO is addressing a truly cross-sectoral issue, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Ren Wang, Assistant Director General for Agriculture and Consumer Protection, to provide his reflections on SOFO.
Your Excellency, Chairperson of the Committee on Agriculture, Committee on Forestry, sorry, Your Royal Highness, Prince Lohan, FAO Special Ambassador on Forestry and the Environment, Dr. Rene Castro, Assistant Director General for FAO's Department of Forestry. Your Excellencies, Honorable Ministers, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, I'm honored to be invited to speak at the 23rd session of the FAO Committee on Forests and to represent the FAO Department of Agriculture and Consumer Protection Department in the launching of this FAO flagship publication, The State of the World Forestry, The State of the World Forest, 2016. This year's SOFO deals with a topic of particular relevance for both agriculture and forestry, land use challenges and opportunities. It is a topic at the heart of the realization of the SDGs and also of the Paris Agreement. It is also one of the best illustrations of why we need to have an integrated approach to all agriculture sectors under a common vision for sustainable agriculture as articulated by the FAO Strategic Program 2. Land use is subject to a number of conflicting pressures and demands: urbanization, maintenance of forests, carbon sinks, protection of biodiversity and delivery of ecosystem services, production of bioenergy, both as wood fuel and liquid biofuels, and increase of food production. Addressing these often conflicting demands will be a major challenge, considering that our shared land and water resources are already increasingly stressed and at times degraded with the additional challenge of climate change. The combination of demographic pressure and unsustainable agricultural practices poses, in a growing number of ecosystems, the risk of a productive capacity breakdown. The physical limits to land and water availability within these ecosystems is often exacerbated by climate change. I would like to emphasize the links between land and water use Forested watersheds and wetlands supply 75% of the world's accessible fresh water. Forests also play a key role in the regulation of precipitation. Just take the example of the Flying River going from the Amazon of the south of Brazil and north to the north of Argentina. Conversely, to both increase and stabilize production, there must be an increase in irrigated areas while using less water. Investing in water management is a priority. This is especially true in Africa, where only 7% of the arable land is irrigated, 4% in sub-Saharan Africa, compared with 38% in Asia. So land is scarce, forests are essential to ecosystems functioning at all levels, from local to global. Exploiting synergies and managing trade-offs will be crucial to optimizing land use in order to ensure food security and nutrition. This requires better integration between agriculture and forestry. I propose to identify four ways of integration. First, there is integration in the field with various agroforestry systems, from silvopastoralism to complex systems integrating several levels of culture. These often offer multiple benefits. A very good example is the development of agroforestry in Central America and Southeast Asia to replace slash and burn in slopy areas. It has been well documented with indicators of economic growth and poverty reduction, creation of new employment opportunities, reduced soil erosion, increased carbon stocks, and diversified the diet and improved the nutrition for the local people. Second, there is integration at landscape level with sustainable land management and the zoning of activities to optimize land use. Watershed management is a classical example. It needs to be enlarged to integrate a broader set of environmental, economic, and social issues. This often calls for innovative governance mechanisms. Thirdly, there is a need for more integration of the policy development process and institutions for both forest and agriculture. In other words, more integrated governance engaging multiple stakeholders at the local, national, regional, and even global levels. This addition of the SOFO, to a great extent, is a very good example of what we need to do here between the Committee on Forestry and the Committee on Agriculture, the COAG. And for all of this to happen, I think we also need the integration of knowledge and the perspectives between agriculture and forestry. I will just take two examples of how agriculture practitioners may be inspired from forests and how such exchanges may provoke transformational changes in agricultural practices. The first one I'd like to mention is for agriculture practitioners to think beyond the crop field and put crop production in the context of managing the habitat and the ecosystem that include also nearby shrubs and trees. Rice farmers, for instance, in northern Vietnam, manage the rice plant hopper problem by reducing pesticide use and augmenting the natural enemies harbored in the forest surrounding the rice fields. Forestry has developed the concept of a sustainable management of forest precisely on the idea that it is an ecosystem producing wood, non-wood products, and a variety of services. The second example is to put agriculture and crop production in a time horizon. As inspired by forestry, when we grow annual crops, we tend to forget the potential and opportunities of perennial plants and perennial crops. and the integration of crops with trees and livestock that may coexist and co-benefit each other in a harmonized system. We have seen convincing examples illustrating such systems underpinned by agroecological principles in the silvopastoral production systems in Latin America and evergreen agriculture in sub-Saharan Africa. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm really trying to say here is that for achieving SDGs, we need to think innovatively and more holistically. We need a new approach that integrates better agriculture, forestry, and fisheries with people as a part of the system. And that takes into account trade-offs and synergies across sectors and across sustainability dimensions. FAO has recently developed the elements of a framework and approach to address sustainable development in agriculture, forestry, and fisheries in a more effective and integrated way, as illustrated in the 2014 publication, Building a Common Vision for Sustainable Food and Agriculture. The principles and approaches of this common vision help to support the necessary policy dialogues and governance arrangements and to identify sustainable development pathways across the SDGs, across the sectors, and along related value chains in line with the principles and approaches underpinning the UN 2030 agenda. With that, let me take this opportunity to thank you very much again for your attention.